This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.
Welcome to Tech News Briefing. It's Thursday, May 11th. I'm Zoe Thomas for the Wall Street Journal. Google is making a show of force against some of its rivals in both hardware and artificial intelligence.
There is so much more we can do to deliver the full potential of AI across the products you know and love.
We'll take a look at what Google introduced at its big developer conference and how it's dealing with some hurdles that competitors have faced. That's after these headlines. TikTok's Chinese parent ByteDance has delayed the full rollout of its shopping platform in the U.S., according to people familiar with the matter. TikTok launched a test version of the platform to a small pool of select merchants late last year, but it struggled to get more merchants to sign up amid concerns over a possible ban of the app in the U.S. and a lack of adoption of live stream shopping here. ByteDance hopes the shopping platform will help it earn more money in its most lucrative market outside China. In a statement, TikTok said the launch hasn't been delayed and that the company continues to expand its testing in the U.S. by inviting more merchants to join as interest continues to grow. And we exclusively report that one of the world's biggest industrial technology and information companies, Rockwell Automation, is being investigated by the Biden administration over concerns it's exposing critical government information to potential hackers. According to U.S. officials and documents we've reviewed, the investigation is focused on employees at a Rockwell facility in China. The question is whether staff there could have access to software codes connected to the computer systems that are used in the national power grid, as well as by the U.S. Navy and Coast Guard. A spokeswoman for Rockwell said the company hasn't been notified of any investigation, but that it would fully cooperate if it is. All right, coming up, the king of search says it's ready to change the way we find information on the internet. We'll find out what Google unveiled at its developer conference when we come back.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. Insights. You need them to solve business problems, but buried in volumes of disparate data, they're seemingly invisible. C3 Generative AI enables business leaders to instantly access secure, hallucination-free, verifiable insights from a unified knowledge source, all with a natural language search. Turn the invisible into the obvious with C3 Generative AI. Learn more at c3.ai.
Wednesday was Google's I/O Developer Conference, and this year, all eyes were on how the company's products would include new features using generative artificial intelligence. And Google didn't disappoint. It announced it's making its AI chatbot Bard widely available to English speakers, with plans to roll it out in 40 languages, including Japanese and Korean, soon. But that wasn't all. It's also rolling out AI search. Here's Google CEO Sundar Pichai.
We have been applying AI to make our products radically more helpful for a while. With generative AI, we are taking the next step. With a bold and responsible approach, we are reimagining all our core products, including search.
Google's AI search won't be rolled out immediately. If you're interested, you'll have to join a waitlist. I spoke with our reporter Miles Krupa, who was at Google I/O, about these developments and what they mean for the company. Miles, did you get a chance to test out Google's new generative search experience?
I did get a chance to test out the search features on Tuesday before the conference, and they felt to me like Google really trying to integrate this stuff into the existing experience rather than create a whole separate experience. They're trying to do it in a way that feels natural to search, including things like links fairly prominently, although maybe not as prominently as some would hope. And intriguingly, it still clearly had some issues when I was testing it, We asked it, who was winning the Russia-Ukraine war? And it gave the answer that Ukraine was winning, to which a Google search executive said it should not have given that answer at all.
How does Google plan to deal with concerns about the AI search potentially generating incorrect results?
So what Google said is they took the approach that they basically wanted to make sure all the answers the AI generates could be corroborated by links on the internet. So whenever you see the response, it'll have, you know, at least three probably links to the right that generally back up the information given in the response. It also said that it did some magic with its search index and incorporated a bunch of different work it's been doing on factuality as it rolls out things like featured snippets. So it's a previous feature that gives you sort of a one true answer to a bunch of different questions. So their answer is basically, it was good enough. It's still not perfect. And I think we'll have to see, given the way they're rolling this out, whether the early testers find it decreases or increases their trust in the answers that Google provides.
So where does advertising fit into all of this? Because that's a big moneymaker for Google.
Personally, when I was asking it questions on Tuesday, I wasn't seeing a lot of ads. But, you know, Google so far is saying that there will clearly be places for advertisements in this new feature. I think there's potential for new kinds of innovation in the way ads are delivered, for better or worse, within the AI-generated responses.
Did Google announce plans to incorporate AI into any of its other products?
Yes, it's fair to say that basically every Google product at this point will have some form of AI in it. The other big announcement was they rolled out their big new artificial intelligence model called PaLM 2, and they said that this would be used across 25 plus products that they're announcing. So that's everything from things like Workspace, Gmail, Google Docs, to Android, things that can work on your mobile phone, to clearly Search and Bard.
Miles, it's felt a bit like Google has been on the back foot when it comes to announcing and releasing generative AI tools, especially as compared to its rival Microsoft. With these new releases, where does Google stand now?
Google on Wednesday clearly wanted to show the world that they are still the leader, I think they would say the leader, in artificial intelligence research, and that they're also speeding up the process of putting this stuff into products. They really threw a lot at the wall, and we'll have to watch the reaction over the next few weeks. The biggest test will really be how users respond to these new search features, because they are quite different from what Google search normally is, the sort of 10 blue links, the web addresses that are listed when you type in something to the search box, while still feeling integrated to the Google experience. So I don't know, it could go either way. I think Google is trying to sort of regain the front foot after I.O.
All right, that's our Google reporter, Miles Krupa, coming to us from Google I.O. Thanks, Miles.
Thanks, Zoe.
Now, AI wasn't the only new thing Google showed off at I.O. It also unveiled a new tablet and new phones, with the highlight being its new Pixel Fold. It's Google's first foray into flexible displays. Here's Rick Osterloh, the company's senior vice president of devices and services.
It's the only foldable engineered by Google to adapt to how you want to use it, with a familiar front display that works great when it's folded. And when it's unfolded, it's our thinnest phone yet, and the thinnest foldable on the market.
With me to discuss this announcement is our personal tech columnist, Nicole Nguyen. Nicole, can you start by describing the Pixel Fold to us?
The Pixel Fold looks like a normal phone from the outside, but it has a hinge and you can open it like a book to reveal a larger screen. So it goes from normal phone to mini tablet. It's a small thing that can turn into a big thing.
Okay, Google's competitor Samsung already makes a foldable phone. How is Google's different?
Google's is different because it runs a cleaner version of Android, so it's more similar to a stock version of Android. Samsung's phones typically have a skin over the operating system, and you'll usually see Samsung apps as default apps. But on Pixel phones, Google apps are the default apps, and I think that's probably the biggest difference. Another big difference is the Pixel Fold is squatter, so it feels more like a normal phone when you hold it closed. Samsung's Galaxy Z Fold is really long and skinny, and so it can feel cramped when you're typing on it. And also, the two screens, when folded on the Pixel Fold, they lie flat. The Samsung Galaxy Z Fold has this weird quirk that leaves a gap where the hinge is. So these are really small details. The biggest difference is really how Android looks on the phones.
What is it like interacting with the software on this foldable device?
So it has some typical Google AI-powered wizardry. One standout feature is called Live Translate. And if you expand the phone and you point it at the person that you're conversing with face-to-face, it'll show the other person what you are saying in their preferred language. And on the other screen, on the wide screen, you'll see what they're saying in your language. And you can also take high-resolution selfies with the main camera on the back. It'll show you a preview on that front screen if you have it open.
Apart from some of those software features, are there any Pixel-specific features that are going to attract people who are maybe on the fence about a foldable phone?
Google did a lot of work to optimize its Android apps for the Pixel Fold screen, so that includes YouTube, Gmail, and Meet. Those apps will eventually roll out to other foldable phones, most notably Samsung's, but you'll probably see them on the Pixel first, and Live Translate will be exclusive to the Pixel at launch.
What about the camera? That's usually such a draw for people looking to buy new phones.
You know, for the Fold's price, I was disappointed that this camera system didn't get a bigger upgrade. The specs are pretty similar to the less expensive Pixels.
And what is the price for the Pixel Fold?
It's $1,799, $1,800, which is the same price as Samsung's Galaxy Z Fold 4. And that's because screens are a very costly component of smartphones, and this thing has triple the screen real estate of a normal smartphone.
So if people do want to spend nearly $1,800 on this phone, when and where will they be able to get it?
Google is accepting pre-orders for the Fold now, but it won't ship until June. I will say that if you're thinking about getting your first foldable, you may want to hold out until August, when Samsung will probably release its next generation Fold.
The foldable phone market hasn't exactly taken off for anybody. So why did Google decide to get into this space?
The smartphone market is a little weird right now, where the market is shrinking overall, but ultra premium phones are still selling. People tend to buy the higher end stuff, mostly iPhone flagships and Samsung flagships. And Google's most expensive phone before the Pixel Fold was $899. And so I think that they are signaling to the smartphone market that they too can make a high-end premium phone and are hoping to attract those customers.
All right, that's our personal tech columnist, Nicole Nguyen. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Zoe.
And that's it for today's Tech News Briefing. If you want more tech stories, check out our website, wsj.com. And if you like the show, please rate and review it. You can do that wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.